Batman cruising, cruise ship infusing, sometimes amusing. I'm Batman cruising, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Blind Man Cruising. My name's Jonathan, and in this first ever episode, I'll be talking to you about who I am, what this podcast is about, and share a few excellent top tips as a visually impaired cruiser.
Blind Man Cruising, yeah.
Okay, my first cruise was back in 2001 on my honeymoon. Neither my wife nor I were beach lobsters. So we decided to go all out and book a trip on the Thompson Emerald. From that moment on, I was hooked. Waking up in different places, seeing different sights, it was amazing. And there was no way I was ever going back to sitting on beaches ever again. Since then, we have travelled on family cruises with our children around the Mediterranean, the Baltic, the Arctic Circle, the Norwegian fjords, and some of North Africa. I haven't been visually impaired for all of that time. I was diagnosed in 2016 with something called serpiginous pigmentosa, a condition where my immune system just attacks the back of my retina, and it is slowly getting worse over time. I currently have zero central vision, but I do have about 20% peripheral vision. Basically, what I see is a giant white blob in the center of my vision, which puts everything I see out of focus. It is like I am seeing everything through my peripheral vision, so I can identify shapes, but I can't identify things. To put it into perspective, I'm currently using an Apple Mac with a 40-inch screen. The Apple Mac itself has the zoom function switched on to 25 times magnification, which makes everything ridiculously big. I can't have the magnification set any bigger because it makes the program unusable. So I have to rely on my screen reader to identify letters, words, symbols, because I still can't see them clearly. So why do I do this, do you ask? Well, I love cruising. I love experiencing things, and there is still so much of the world that I have not experienced, and there are still so many things that we as visually impaired people can do that no one else can do, to be honest. We can stand within 3 meters of the Mona Lisa. We can physically touch the Elgin Marbles. There are so many things that we can experience that beats the hell out of lying on a beach, and I'm going to do it. And I want you to come along for the ride, to share my tips and tales of the high seas as I embark on this great adventure.
Blind Man Cruising, yeah.
Okay then, this is the part where I spill some tips, tricks and the odd warning when cruising as a visually impaired traveller. These are things which I have noticed or experienced myself, and as such are my own personal opinion. However, I hope you get some use out of my ramblings.
All aboard!
The first thing is, if you have a visual impairment and you want to cruise as a solo passenger, contact the cruise line directly and be sure that they are aware that you will not have sighted help. Now, this is very important because if you book from a third-party travel agent and you let them know of your visual impairment, they might phone the cruise line, who will say, yes, we have Braille on the doors, we have Braille menus, and we can service anyone with a visual impairment. But it might just mean they are talking generally and not as a solo traveller. So before you even think of booking, just contact the cruise company directly and get it in writing that they will allow you on board. The reason I say this is because there have been a couple of episodes where people with visual impairments have booked a cruise and shown up for their cruise, and then they've just been denied access to the ship. In 2022, Virgin Cruises asked a Canadian Paralympian to leave the ship due to his blindness. He was later apologised to and flown to the next stop, but he still lost a day's travel. He lost the sail away party and a complete night's travel. In 2023, P&O Cruises asked a pair of friends who were both visually impaired to leave the ship, citing health and safety grounds. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds like a lack of transparency and clarity on the cruise liner's part. I can understand that if they put this on their website, that they can't cater for certain types of solo travellers, there would be uproar and bad publicity and all sorts of stuff, but you need to let your clientele know. Sure, as a visually impaired person myself, I like to think that I can do anything I like still. Obviously, even after all these years, I can't accept that I can't do things. That's just me. I can also understand the captain's point of view. He is in charge of the safety of everyone on board his vessel, and the cruise director is responsible for everyone having a great time. Now, there are definitely some things you can't do as a blind solo traveller, but these are things that I will go on to later on in this podcast. But, you know, surely there must be some sort of workaround. I don't think that the ship should allow one member of staff to be at someone's beck and call every minute of the day, because people pay thousands of pounds for that, and that's called a concierge service, you know. But at the end of the day, everyone wants to have a great time. Everyone wants to experience things, so why shouldn't we? I don't know. What do you all think about it? Anyway, moving on. This one may sound like a weird thing to talk about, but it's quite necessary if you want to cruise in comfort and don't want to have too much frustration. Memorize as many toilet locations as you can. Yes, I really did say that, and here's why. Tables in public areas are like gold dust, especially on sea days where everyone is crammed into the ship trying to get a bit of sun on deck. If you are traveling as a pair and you need the facilities, once you and your sighted person get up to find them, the table will be occupied by someone else. I'm afraid in that situation, you will have to fly solo. People are nice on cruise ships. After all, they're on holiday. But sometimes you need to be a vulture to get that prime location. Make sure you let staff know of your condition and befriend as many as you can. The key to getting good service is to give something back. These guys are there to make your holiday great and should not be taken for granted. A kind word or making a bar person laugh goes a long way to getting you noticed. If they like talking to you, bar staff will make the effort to see if you need a drink or something later on. After all, the staff need something to get them through their shift. If you have a favourite table, try using it on different days. That way, the bar staff who saw you yesterday will know exactly where you are today if they need cheering up. And while they come over and you're making them laugh, they will take your drinks order at the same time. It works. Be cheeky. If you are sat on your own, ask the table next to you if they wouldn't mind flagging someone down. If you are courteous, and maybe add a joke or two, most people are normally only too happy to help. In the main dining room, or MDR, ask the maitre d' if you could be seated at the same table for each meal. This allows you a little bit of independence, especially on the second day, once you have gotten used to where you are going to be seated. Now, on some cruises, you have dining at two sittings and you usually have the same table every time. but there are other cruises where it is free dining. Now, this means that you can sit wherever you want and dine at whatever time you want. And it's quite handy if you could be nice to the maitre d' and they will sort you out the same table every time. Because if you have to leave for any reason, you know exactly where you're going to when you come back. Remember, you and your sighted companion are allowed to use the lift in the mandatory safety drill. The ship's staff normally block access to the lifts during these drill times, as the drill normally expects you to use the stairs only to get to your safety point. However, this could cause a major health risk to all guests if people with mobility issues had to use the stairs, and so they keep the lifts open for these people only. Now here's one for the cabin. Magnetic hooks are a great way to hang things in accessible areas. Cabins are designed to cram as much storage space as possible into every small area. Because of this, there are plenty of places to crack your shins on things, making your vocabulary more colourful. Luckily, the cabin walls are all magnetic, allowing you to choose where is best for certain items, making it just that little bit easier. Electronic luggage tags are not just for suitcases. Finding your cabin can be a traumatic experience at the best of times, especially on the first couple of days. If you have those luggage tags that give you an idea of location, attach one to the inside of a door handle, so when you are near, you can use the app to make the tag beep, helping you find the way. When booking excursions, see if you can book direct with the excursion provider rather than through the cruise ship itself. Not just because the cruise liner will add its own ridiculous markup onto the price, but if you can book with the excursion provider, they may be able to provide a discount for sighted help. For instance, my family and I went on a whale-watching expedition, which my wife sourced and purchased before we even boarded the ship. We purchased it from the excursion seller themselves. Come the day of the excursion, we hopped on a coach towards where we needed to catch the boat. We caught the boat, and the organizer turned around and said to us that we could have had a free place for my wife, as she was my helper, because I was visually impaired, and to email them when we got back to the UK and they would sort us out a refund. And true to their word, they did. More on that in another podcast later on. But it really is worth emailing the excursion provider prior to booking, just to see if there are any concessions available. Use big balls. Yes, I did just say that. If you are a cane user that can have multiple attachments on the end of it, it is always worth using the larger roller ball instead of the small ceramic disc or pointer attachment. In the UK, sometimes it's better to use the smaller attachments, which are more accurate in identifying smaller potholes and such like. But most of the destinations cruise ships go to have ye olde worldy cobblestones or uneven flagstones, which the smaller cane attachments can get stuck into. And you don't want to spend your shore time constantly jabbing yourself in the hip or jarring your hand because you keep hitting every other cobblestone. It's just not fun and can be quite painful, as we all know. So big balls are the order of the day when going ashore. This one is just personal preference and something that I do, but other people might find it useful. My visual impairment has made me extremely sensitive to bright light, even to the point of not being able to cope with car headlights at night. The special tinted glasses for the visually impaired don't really help, as they're not dark enough, nor are standard sunglasses that you can buy from any shop anywhere. What I tend to use are welding glasses. No, not welding goggles that are on elastic straps and make you look like Biggles, but on wraparound sunglass frames with welding glass filtering. They look like normal Terminator-style sunglasses, but filter out all the light waves and UV which are associated with welding arcs, making everything a lot darker. To make you see more of the green wavelength on the visible spectrum, which is the easiest wavelength for the human eye to register. This means that although you lose some colour definition, everything becomes a little bit sharper, but without the painful glare. This I have found perfect for me when being out in really bright sunlight, helping me to detect moving objects easier, which in turn lets me be more independent. There are some things, though, that just can't be done alone, and I am now going to talk about a few things for which I require sighted help from my lovely wife, whom without, cruising would be an absolute nightmare. Roads in other countries like Spain have different laws from the UK, and the pedestrian crossings generally don't have sound, nor do they have the rotational extrusions under the button box that help a visually impaired person by spinning round when it's time to cross the road. Another thing is, in a lot of countries, you can actually be fined for not using a pedestrian or zebra crossing. And on these zebra crossings, drivers are not even required to stop unless you give a visual signal of your intention by either placing your foot on the road, which is a highly dangerous thing to do, or holding your hand out to signify that you want to cross and hope that the driver stops. You have to use your hearing very well to see whether the driver has actually stopped. For this reason alone, it's extremely advisable to go ashore with sighted help rather than on your own. Now, on modern ships, everything has gone electronic. Most activities that have limited space can only be booked on the onboard app. Unfortunately, I have not yet come across a single app which is fully accessible. There just aren't enough placeholder tags written into their apps for screen reader technology to detect. The task of using an app to book anything from shows to meals can only be accomplished with sighted help. On an additional note, some of these ships allow you to use your in-cabin television, which will have the app pre-installed on it. It may be possible to switch on the accessible settings of the television to help you, but even then, it's very limited. Some ships also have the app installed on larger screens dotted around the public areas of the ship. This may make things easier because the text will be a lot larger, but you must remember at the end of using one of these to log out of your account. Otherwise, someone may accidentally come along and book a speciality meal or something like that on your account, and you'll be charged at the end of your cruise. Lifts on the larger modern cruise ships are now apparently smart. By this, I mean the lifts are programmed to be more efficient. For sighted people, this is great. However, for us, it is a nightmare, as we never know which of the lifts in front or behind us are likely to open. This normally means you have a 75% chance of stepping on the wrong lift, and having to wait an age to get to the right deck. Something which could be improved by changing the boom on the lift to a speaking tone which tells you which lift it is and what deck it's on and which direction it's going. Might be something for the cruise liners to look into. And finally, it's the buffet. Dong, dong, da. Eating in the main dining room or specialty restaurant is great. Waiters come to you, take your order, and generally look after you. But what happens if you just want a burger? Braving the buffet is a visually impaired person's impossibility. You can't just walk up to one of the servers and ask them to run around after you. They've got their own job to do. They have to stay at their station, otherwise other guests don't get fed. It's brutal out there. Forget about negotiating traffic in Spain. Getting in the way of guests on a self-service mission at an all-you-can-eat buffet is a one-way ticket to the infirmary. Especially if you're looking for a table. Don't do it. If you're dining alone, go to the MDR, get led to a table and get fed. If you have sighted help and you really want that burger that much, grab a table, let your sighted friend get the damned thing while you guard the table with your very life. You have been warned. So I hope you have enjoyed the first episode of Blind Man Cruising. Check back for more episodes when we'll be talking about my experience on various cruises and excursions. If you have any questions about anything cruising, email me at info@blindmancruising.com and we'll give you a mention and answer your question. But until then, thank you for listening and we'll see you at the next port.
Blind Man Cruising, yeah.